From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of October, 2012. Oh, wait a second. I can't contain myself. You've got to stay with us for this whole half hour today. If you're a regular listener to the Closing Market Report in Illinois Public Media over the years, Ed Kueser will be our guest as the meteorologist at the end of the program that comes up about 26 minutes from now. Along the way, of course, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker today. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, and help us look at the commodity markets and the futures. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois. And Lisa Braltz will be here with her latest In My Backyard segment. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on a Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower. A nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $1.72.5 on a close today, down 11.5 cents. In the December, July futures at $8.68 were up a half cent. The hard red in Kansas City, 9 cents higher at $9.02.25. From the corn pit back in Chicago, 13.25 lower on its close, $7.41.25. The March at $7.43.5, a closing price down 12.5. And at the end of the day, $7.40 was one of the last trades in the May contract, down 11.25. July at $7.34, down 10.75. And September corn at $6.59, 9 cents lower. December contract of next year down 4 cents at $6.35.5. November beans, again, these are closes and not settlements, so they're likely yet to change. $15.62.5, 8 lower. January on the close at $15.64.5, down 7.75. In the March, $15.34.5, down 2.5. May soybeans, $14.85, up 2. July, $14.63.25, unchanged. And November beans at $13.35.5. A penny and a half higher, that, of course, for the 2013 contract. Bean meal at $4.81, down 90 cents. And bean oil at $51.42, down 42 cents. Live cattle futures at December, $125.65, $1.42.5 lower. November feeders at $146.05, down $1.12.5 on the afternoon. And the February lean hogs today at $84.27.5, or 40 cents lower. Nearby December there, down 12.5 at $78.12.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, December contract $86.15 a barrel, up 42 cents. The RBOB gasoline, that's wholesale price, at $2.67.7, 7.4 higher. Ethanol at $2.37.9, down 2.3. The spread is 9.7 wider today at 29.8 of a cent. And natural gas at $3.42.6 of a cent, down 2.4 of a cent. Heating oil, November contract or diesel fuel, $3.06.6. That's up 2.6. And the gold futures on the afternoon, $11.5 higher at $1,712.10 an ounce. The U.S. dollar at 80.03. Up 0.12 on the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says we'll see skies that will show us a 30% chance of thunderstorms for the afternoon. Should be partly sunny, though, with a high of 78 degrees, breezy on a south-southwest wind at about 23 miles an hour. That one will gust all the way to 33. Occasional showers, a possible thunderstorm will come before 1 a.m. this evening. Then a chance of showers in the area, low of 40. South-southwest winds at 15 to 17, becoming northerly to northwest by midnight, or after midnight, rather. Winds could gust as high as 24. The chance of precipitation overnight, 80%. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, gradually becoming sunny. A high of just 51 degrees on that north wind at 13 to 16 miles an hour. And then Friday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 34 with a north wind at 9 to 11. Saturday, sunny skies and 52 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 33. Sunday, sunny and 50. Sunday night, cloudy and 33. Monday, sunny and 49. And Monday night, 32 degrees and partly cloudy. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. Ed Kueser will be here. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on the phone line this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Zwicker. Thanks so much, Dan, for taking the time.
You're welcome, Todd.
It's been a busy couple of weeks. Why don't you go back over the charts for me and tell me how things have or have not changed over the last two-week period?
Well, we'll start off here with the chart that probably has the most promise, at least in the short term anyway, is November soybeans. November soybeans have had a pretty good success here of kind of pulling out of their mid-October low. We were able to penetrate a previous reaction high point that we had prior to that low of 1574. And we've kind of cleared this 23-24% retracement level of the fall decline. So that kind of is solidifying that the bean market now is maybe some kind of harvest recovery rally is underway. Now, probably the target that most technicians will be looking at is a move up into the $16 area, and then we'll kind of see what happens at that point. But beans have had strong demand underneath them. We had another good export sales, weekly sales number today. It was probably a little lower than maybe what the trade was looking at, but it came in at 19 million. And there's all kinds of talk that China was buying some more beans this week. So I think we're going to see, you know, this here is pretty much of a demand-driven market at this point until South America can get some inventory into the world channels, and that's not going to be until you get into early spring. So soybeans do look like they're have a decent shot that we've got a harvest low behind us, and now we're trying to do some recovery. Now, the problem is how bullish do you want to be if everything starts going well in South America? Then this low here, down here, this 1485 area is not going to hold longer term on a lead futures chart. So one has to, you know, be a little worried about being too bullish. But at least for right now, there's room for some pretty good recovery.
And in the corn?
Corn hasn't really done much, you know, since the September stocks report that shot it up the limit on the 28th. We closed that day, I think, at 756. We had a range of 705 to 756. And for the most part, corn has kind of been trading 750, give or take 18 cents or 20 cents. So we've kind of been in a 730 to 775 or 780 type range. And basically, I think we continue in that range. The thing that's got corn probably under pressure the most here today is exports have just been lousy, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 million bushels a week, and you can't get the market excited when you're only selling 5 million bushels of corn a week in the export market. The ethanol grind is coming in a little lighter than what's needed to meet USDA's projection of 4.5 billion bushels. So when that's what's probably got into the market here today. It's just realization that the corn market is doing some rationing. Now, many of the trades still feel that there's a bigger job ahead of us, but we're really not going to get any good numbers to know how big a job we have ahead of us in rationing supply until we get past the January final. And that'll give us the December 1st stocks number. That'll give us the disappearance or the usage during the first quarter. And then that'll give us a little better idea of how much rationing, if we need to do any rationing in corn at that point in time.
Can you talk about some of the patterns that are there, maybe in the continuous corn chart? I would gather as I look at it that maybe there's a flag pattern that's available. You tell me what's there and what you think of it.
Well, over the, you know, basically since we pulled out of our 704 low and then we had a low there about 732, one was able to kind of draw a little trend line. And we've clearly broken underneath that today with today's decline. Now, it may end up being a bear trap. Who knows if we would snap back. But we're on the right down against the 100-day moving average on the lead futures chart. You could probably draw a line along the top and probably say that there's some kind of pennant formation there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, we're breaking out of that pennant formation to the downside. It's basically the way I would interpret it at this point.
Does that give you any indication over a longer run of what might happen to the marketplace and or when the timing could come?
Well, I think for the most part, you still kind of got to view the market as sideways. I mean, we've had these little small patterns in it, but it's still, I think, a 750 market, probably give or take 20 cents at this point.
And then bring up the wheat charts for me, because that one I find of interest, I suppose, on the continuation chart, because we have that the high back in, 2008, which was really high in the wheat chart. And then so we've got this top up here around 950 or so, which I would think would be really difficult for wheat to penetrate. What does that tell you about the rest of the commodity markets when you give wheat, if you do, any real weight in the marketplace as a leader?
Well, wheat is a food grain, and it is a worldwide food grain. And if you get into supply shortages of wheat, wheat will pull out in front and lead and be kind of the leader of the pack. For the most part, going back in history, you know, soybeans either led, which is oilseed protein driven, or wheat led. Corn was more of a follower because it was a feed grain.
Mm-hmm.
But now, since it's as much of a, it's probably more of an energy grain than a feed grain at this point. So corn kind of gets the dynamics of the market has somewhat changed over the years since it is an energy grain. But the wheat chart probably has a very bullish picture to it when you look at it on a weekly basis. You could, especially on the lead futures, it does show that you've got a triangle formation forming, and as a rule, they break out to the way they came into it. And if that wheat market does break out to the upside, then, you know, we're talking about double-digit wheat prices fairly quickly. And I think, you know, that is probably the most dynamic market there at some point in time, because when you look around the world, we do have problems in wheat production. We've had a lot of weather adversities. The Ukraine is going to basically stop exporting wheat by mid-November. So we are getting some supply tightness around the world, and that could be real potentially bullish longer term. And if that would happen, that would probably pull everything with it.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Make sure to visit our website at willag.org. And if you can't get there, you can always hear part of what Dan had to say again on our telephone line. That number is 217-333-3434. It's all part of the service here at Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, Lisa Brautz revisits chicken wranglers in Urbana in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
In My Backyard's third piece ever, airing in June 2010, was about keeping chickens in the city. Well, in one neighborhood in Urbana, Illinois, more specifically, since chickens weren't legal in Champaign, the neighbor to the immediate west. 2 years and change later, they're still not legal there, but the city of Champaign keeps entertaining the idea as a potential part of their long-range sustainability plans. We're rooting for you, Champaign. A lot has happened in 2 years in the neighborhood. A couple chicken-keeping neighbors moved away, but their chickens mostly stayed in the neighborhood with new owners. New chicken-keeping neighbors moved in with their birds, many of these neighbors brand new to the messy and imperfect art of poultry raising in the city. Keeping chickens and gardening are incredibly grounding experiences. Nature is happening right in front of you, but it's great to have support, especially if you're not exactly sure what you're doing. And this is where technology can come in. One of these neighbors decided to form a Facebook group, bringing the chicken-keeping neighbors and their allies together. The group now numbers around 30 members and is called the Urbana Area Chicken Tenders. Get it? Chickens are entertaining birds. Their interactions with each other and their behavior, especially around food, is way more fun to watch than TV. But it's not always the bucolic ideal set forth in the chicken how-to books and in the magazines. There are a lot of things Martha Stewart never mentions, like that chickens aren't always as advertised in terms of gender, and roosters don't just crow in the morning. Here's my neighbor, Colleen Wagner.
I think he was like close to two months old when I kind of started suspecting he was a rooster, and he started crowing at about 2.5 or 3 months, and we talked to some adjacent neighbors, and they're like, oh, it doesn't bother us. And then he started crowing more and more and more, starting at like 4 in the morning all through the day. So eventually I decided that I would either kill him or get rid of him. So I put an ad on Craigslist, and the only response I got was a woman who had 20 hens and a huge heated and lighted coop, and she came and took him.
Chickens also are not the brightest creatures in the world and are easily preyed upon. Predators are fond of urban poultry. Opossums like the eggs and raccoons like the chickens. And then there are dogs, even the chicken owner's own dogs. Another neighbor, Joy Rust.
So one day I was in the yard with Huck, the dog, and I ran inside for less than a minute, I swear. And I came outside and Huck had killed a chicken. And I was so upset. And Charlie, my boyfriend, had just gotten home too. And we were so angry and so mad. And no matter what, we couldn't make Huck feel bad. He was so proud. He was just kind of like, look what I brought you, dinner.
As it turns out, that chicken actually ended up being dinner, but the vast, vast majority of the Urbana chicken tenders keep their birds for eggs. Of the four members of the group we met with, only Jill Miller had previously raised birds for meat and participated in their demise.
Sam came over and asked if I could host some meat birds for him. And so my first experience was with Sam's chickens in my backyard, and I didn't name them, and I ate them. They were good. Yeah, backyard chickens are the best chickens. Mm-hmm. But the ones I have now, I just don't know if I could kill them. Maybe I could get someone else to kill them.
Winter's coming, and the long-range forecast is uncertain at best. Winter with chickens is basically about keeping them alive, making sure their water doesn't freeze, that they stay warm enough. If you're lucky, you can keep them laying eggs by installing a lamp in their coop. The light triggers egg production, especially in the dark winter months, which are coming fast, so it's good to laugh, right? There was a lot of laughing among the chicken tenders about their birds, but the loudest laughs were reserved for the recitation of their names. We leave you with...
All right, I have a Nugget, Penguin, Mavis Beacon touch typing, Abraham Lincoln, yellow Abraham Lincoln, Skeletor, and is that it? I think that might be it. Oh, yeah, and Philip, but okay. Philip's gone.
That's not the one I'm
going to
use, but, well, everybody else
can. Tootie, Blair, Natalie, and Joe turned out to be a rooster, and so I don't have Joe anymore.
Claude is the Araucana.
Actually, Angus. My chickens are Angus 1, 2, 3, and 4.
They're all named Angus? My sister's actually named her chickens.
We'll follow up in spring 2013. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Lots of paperwork shuffling, I suppose, in your area tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys trying to get ready for their insurance deals. So, you know, there's a few guys still finishing up, actually, on beans, and then a couple guys on corn as well. So we're actually getting a little bit in today. I think guys are trying to get in before the rain comes in.
Yeah, those last bit of beans I've heard are really tough because they didn't dry out quite, and they're still kind of green. Is that the case in your area?
Yeah, that's the case in, for most of these. You know, there's a lot of beans coming in today, 15-16%. I think guys are just, you know, they've heard that we weren't going to get a whole lot of rain on these last two events, and we got an inch and a half. So, you know, they're thinking, well, maybe I should go ahead and get them out, especially with these low temperatures coming. You know, it's going to be real tough to get the ground dried out if we don't get them out here before it rains again.
How's basis acting for both corn and beans?
Well, we haven't seen a lot of movement here locally. I know that there's been movement otherwise, but here locally we've stayed fairly consistent. We're still running overs on corn. We're a little bit under on beans, but, you know, for this time of year during the harvest, we're still actually pretty competitive basis levels.
How far over are you?
Well, on corn, we're running between 5 and 10, depending on where our facilities are.
And you expect, like last year, that those will widen out dramatically over time?
You know, that's going to be a good question, Todd. I think the main thing for me, again, I've talked about this for a while now, is quality corn is where the name of the game is going to be. And right now what I see is there's a lot of areas where quality corn's being pulled into areas that don't normally buy corn from those areas. And so the guys that are their normal customers are going to be hunting for bushels. Regular corn, I don't know what the basis levels are going to look like for that. I think that it's going to be kind of a, you know, a seesaw effect. But as far as quality corn, I think it's going to be anybody's guess as to how high we're going to run over this market, because I think it's going to be substantial.
Substantial, but it would be hard to find, I suppose, in a lot of Illinois.
That's correct. And I think a lot of Illinois people that have contracts, you know, with food grade facilities or facilities that have to have non-alpha toxin corn, they're pulling corn into the state. And, you know, like I said, those areas are going to be running a deficiency whenever they get ready to sell to the people that normally buy it off of them. So people happen to pay for that corn right now, but I think it's because they know they don't want to pay $2 and $3 over later.
Your bids for the day?
Cash corn, $7.50, $7.57 on Jan, and then $15.52 on cash beans, and $15.66 for Jan.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Greasy Foods Day. It's also St. Crispin Day. St. Crispin is a patron saint of shoemakers, glove makers, leather workers, saddle makers, tanners, weavers, and lace makers. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Christopher Columbus and the Santa Maria landed at what will become the Dominican Republic. In 1789, Samuel Schwab was born. An amateur German astronomer, he discovered the 10-year sunspot activity cycle. In 1888 and 1890, Floyd Bennett and Richard Byrd were born 2 years apart. Later, they became joined together as the first American aviators to fly over the North Pole. For his part, Bennett received the Congressional Medal of Honor. Byrd made history by becoming the first aviator to fly over both poles, making the South Pole trip in 1929, 3 years after his North Pole trip. In 1934, Frank Sprague died, an American engineer. He is known as the father of electronic railway traction, better known as the trolley car system. He installed the first electronic trolley in Richmond, Virginia in 1887. He also earned patents for other electronic devices, including toasters, signs, and elevators. And in 1955, the first microwave oven for home use was introduced by the Tappan Stove Company. The 220-volt unit had cooking speeds of 500 or 800 watts. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line with us from T-Storm Weather. Not in Chicago today, but in Columbus, Ohio, is Ed Keyser, old friend. It is really good to hear from you. Thanks so much for taking the time with us today. Let's start in the Midwest, Ed, and talk about the weather right here in the Urbana-Champaign area.
Well, I hope you enjoy the warm and dry weather, because some big changes are on the way here over the next couple of days. The cold front will be sweeping through the area tomorrow, ushering in much cooler air. And with that, some showers and thunderstorms will be moving through, so that will briefly cut down on field work. But after that, I think several days of dry weather will follow. So I don't see any long-term impacts to harvest based on this frontal system coming through. But this will be the end of this extraordinarily warm period of weather, and I think we probably won't see it this warm again this year, so enjoy it. Right now, the showers and thunderstorms associated with the front are still to the west, some over western into northern Missouri, eastern Iowa, on up into Wisconsin, also some showers moving through Minnesota. But the central and eastern Corn Belt, dry and just wonderful weather for field work today.
North of Route 70 across the Midwest, and certainly in Illinois, the upper two-thirds of the state, we really do need it to cool down so that we can put some anhydrous on. Will temperatures be cool enough to make that happen in the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely. Today, temperatures are in the 70s to around 80 across the central and eastern Corn Belt, and we're going to see high temperatures here starting tomorrow, only in the 50-degree area across central Illinois, even cooler in the 40s to the north. So that will not be a problem, and overnight lows are going to be flirting with freezing for several nights in a row. So we're definitely going into a cooler weather pattern here.
Turn your attention to the western part of the United States, in particular the hard red growing regions. They should have a crop partially emerged at this time. How's it faring?
Well, the big problem is in the northern parts of the hard red winter wheat belt, especially across South Dakota and Nebraska. Extraordinarily speaking, as of Sunday, only 13% of the hard red winter wheat crop had emerged in South Dakota because it's so dry, and that's compared to an average of 80%. So think about that, 67 points behind schedule in South Dakota. Some showers came through last night, but for many of the main wheat-producing areas, only a tenth to a quarter of an inch. So a little bit of moisture to maybe help with emergence, but that's all that's coming there over the next week. So still is very, very dry across South Dakota and Nebraska. It's dry farther south, too, but conditions not quite as dire in terms of dryness as South Dakota and Nebraska.
Wrap us up, Ed. Take us to South America.
Well, we're looking at a few dry days here in Argentina. It's been extraordinarily wet, so corn and sunflower planting way behind schedule in Argentina. It looks like another round of rain late in the weekend into early next week, and then it may dry out a little more for planting there. Southern parts of Brazil also have gotten heavy rain of late. A few dry days coming up, but then more rain over the weekend into early next week. And as you go farther north into areas such as Mato Grosso, on over to Minas Gerais and Bahia, just a few scattered thunderstorms from time to time here over the next week. But some areas a little bit dry. It looks like it'll be a little more than a week before it turns a bit wetter there.
Ed, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time.
My pleasure.
Ed Kieser with T-Storm Weather. He's in Columbus, Ohio, filling in today for Peter Levitt, who's out of the office. That wraps up the closing market report. I'm Todd Gleason.